You're listening to PodcastJuice.net. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out here on PodcastJuice.net, where all my podcast juicers at. And you're joined by Michael Dean and Q Storm. Q, how are you doing, sir?
I'm all right, man. We're broadcasting during the, I think it's the second to the last episode of Breaking Bad. So
yes,
that's how dedicated we are to this podcast.
All right. So let's just get into it. Then let's start it off with some Breaking Bad talk. I know the last episode, the third to the last episode, which was a headbuster, I must admit. A lot of stuff happened in that episode. Stuff I've been waiting to see for a very long time, things to happen. What's your? I know you really wanted to talk about this when it happened, but what were your thoughts on this that episode?
Man, I'd say it was probably, outside of maybe True Blood or Walking Dead. I mean, it's one of the most intense hours of TV I want to say I've ever seen. Because you know, you think about True Blood and Walking Dead; those are kind of fantasy. Those are not, could never happen types of scenario. But this show takes place, I mean, it's all too real. So it had much more impact. And I was shaken after watching that episode. I think I watched it twice afterwards. And
really?
It was just hardcore. So it was one not to miss. The episode was called Ozymandias, and it aired a week ago today.
Yeah, and basically sort of what happened is that a lot of, you know, what Walt was doing came to light to his family.
Right.
There was something that happens to, what's the other guy's name?
Hank.
Something happens to Hank. I mean, everything goes down in this. They could have, you know, they could have ended the series with that episode.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. That would have been a brilliant, it would have been a better ending than The Sopranos, I think.
Yeah, because there's a lot of characters sort of, you know, their story sort of could have came to a conclusion there, and you could have stopped it. So that's why I'm very interested to see what happens next. But, you know, what's the other kid? I'm forgetting everybody's name now.
Jesse.
You know, you see what happens to Jesse, and just like, man, like, I assume that's not the end of him. I mean, obviously there's something that goes on, because at the beginning of this season, we saw, you know, sort of the house in shambles and, you know, all this sort of stuff. So something still is yet to happen. But, man, just to me, you know, what was so exciting to me that I was really on the edge of my seat was when his son.
Right.
Saw, you know, finally was revealed to him what was going on. And just, I was like, this dude, I don't know if he's really like whatever he is. His character seems to have some sort of disability. I don't know if that's real or he's acting, he put it down. Go ahead.
The actor does have, what I've read is that the actor does have cerebral palsy, but not as intense. Is that the word? Okay. Not to the degree that the character does.
All right. Cause yeah, he was, I mean, he normally he'd be,
all right.
He started talking all straight. I was like, oh, my man is pissed.
My man said, later for the crutches.
Yeah, I mean, like, wow.
And he turned into Batman.
it was incredible. That was some acting right there, man. Like,
yeah,
it really was doing their thing. And even the baby was like, it's just like, ah. I really, you know, I always sort of have a love-hate relationship with Walt's character.
Right.
And initially when I watched it, I was just like, this guy is a bitch ass. Like, I couldn't believe he was doing what he was doing, you know, snatching the kid and, you know, fighting with. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, this guy is a bitch. And then, like, when the standoff with Hank. But as I look back and I listen to what he was saying over the phone and stuff, I can understand, like, on some levels, he was giving his family, or at least his wife, an out where she, you know, won't get arrested, or, you know, he's trying to make it seem like it was all him.
Right.
So I can kind of understand that. I still sort of wonder about like his intentions of why he was doing what he's doing, and like what did he think the end was gonna be? Like, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I just have a problem with the character, but he's a great character and he's played perfectly.
Well, like I said in the last podcast, you know, he's working purely on ego now, trying to pump himself up for the loss that he suffered when he sold his stock in that company, Gray Matter, for what I think it was $5,000. And the company turned out to become worth billions of dollars. So he's like, you know, I lost out there, but this is something that I built, and I'm not going to give it up so easily, even though I don't have the cancer anymore, although it's back now. And my original purpose was to make enough money for my family, but so now he's working purely on ego now. You know, he's become the 1%, if you will. It's never enough. So that works enough for me as to why he's still in the business.
Yeah, he's basically just become the evil guy. I mean, he's like the very sort of evil dude. Like, you know, even admitting to Jesse about what happened with the kid or whatever.
Oh, his girlfriend.
And like he sat there and watched. And, like, that's, he just pure evil. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even when Jesse was underneath the car, like.
That was cold blood.
I was like, man, he's just like, don't get it. He's like, save everybody else, but fuck Jesse. Like, I was just like, really? Like, man, this is a suck. And then, you know, like, Hank, man, he wrote like a real G about his, where it's like, listen, go on and pull the trigger. Y'all not going to have me crying out here. You know, this is part of the game. I understand it. And even like, I thought they was going to kill Walt.
Cause me
I was
too.
Like, what's the point then? I mean, I guess it was like, you know, Aryan Nation Brotherhood with a heart or something. You know,
it's the thing, you know, honor amongst thieves. They respect Walt, and they, you know, they didn't want to kill him. They respect what he did, what he built. So
yeah, yeah.
But the thing with Jesse,
they still jacked his ass. let it be known. We're gonna take this money.
Oh yeah, you know. But see, they left him $11 million, right?
Right.
My man's like, so. But going back to the Jesse thing, that was kind of far even for Walt, because he had to have known they were going to kill him. And the only reason I can think that he did that is because he was really upset that Jesse got aligned with that he brought Hank out there.
Yeah.
And led to Hank's death, even though Walt's actions led to Hank's death just as much. But he saw it as Jesse's betrayal that got Hank killed, and he's like, okay, well, you're going to go. He turned into Nino Brown. If I'm going down, everybody's going down.
I guess, yeah. And it was, you know, it was so cold, because I love how they did it where, you know, Hank's wife went straight to her sister and was like, listen, Hank just called, it's going down, you know, it's over. You know, you're going to tell everybody. And I was like, man, what a surprise when my man, he's going to come back home. And she's going to be like, what? And I was like, where's Hank? And right. I was like, oh, he don't. Because I can tell in Walt's mind, he was like, everything's going to work out. I can just say, like, Hank disappeared or something or whatever. I can still play it off. You know, we can still play this off and leave. But then once they knew it was too late, it was nothing else he could do. You know, once his kids knew, his son, it was a wrap. It's like, all your little games is over, man.
And you know, it's funny, that phone call that he made to Skyler. The guys of the crew over at Spill, they were clowning, talking about the people that did not know that he was getting her off the hook are idiots. And I'm like, damn.
Cause well, I didn't see it that way.
I didn't know that either at first.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. But it's just
big sexy that put it in my head. I was like, and I watched it again. I was like, yeah, it's pretty clear that's what he's doing. Although he's had so many emotional blow-ups that it didn't seem out of reason that he might be talking to her like that and calling her a bitch and all that.
Yeah, to me, so he could have did all that without taking the baby. Like, that's why I was like, what are you doing, dog? Like, you can't possibly think you're going to take that child and raise him or something. Like, I was just like, he was lost. I mean, he was just caught up in the moment, I suppose. But I was like, you got to be joking. How could you? I was like, how you gonna even care about these kids? You got killers coming to the crib. Like, what do you think is gonna happen? That's why I was like, it don't make no sense, man. Like, why are you doing this? You don't. You'll see the home. We didn't somebody come in the house and decided. Oh, it was Jesse. Like, Jesse was gonna burn the spot down.
Right,
and he was like trying to tell Skyler, like, well, he didn't do it. He decided not to, so it's cool. Like, dude, we got kids. What are you doing? He was wild. He was a wild dude, man. But yeah, well, great show.
Definitely. I'm like I said, I stopped the show halfway in to do this podcast, so I'm not going to spoil anything. But Well, I don't want to say anymore.
Yeah, let it go. we'll talk about it next
time. I don't think it looks good for Jesse, though. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, doesn't surprise me. But yeah, it's going to be interesting that show will be gone. So there's only two episodes left.
Well, after tonight, one, right?
One, yeah. So
that's crazy.
It's over.
And it was funny. I started. I started watching a show a year ago, and I watched like the first five episodes, and then maybe 3 months ago this year, I picked up where I left off, and I had kind of forgotten those first five. So over the last couple of days, I went and watched the first five again, and it was a trip, man. It's funny how much foreshadowing there was in those first five. Like I forgot that Walt used to work at that car wash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was low down. My man was making him go out and wash cars while his students that he was teaching in the school.
It's so funny because I remember watching the show initially, maybe a couple episodes, like when it first came on, at least the first year. And I thought it was good, but I just, you know, kind of lost track and sort of forgot about it. And just sort of off and on, I would maybe check out one or so. And then I actually just started downloading. Like the first season, I think I watched the whole thing, and it may have been about three seasons into it at that point, and just didn't watch it after a while. I think it was when it hit Netflix where I really decided I'm going to just watch this, you know, go through and start watching this. And I mean, it had already been on for, I don't know, 3 years or 4 years or something. And I just think it's one of those great shows where, and The Wire was like this to me as well. Like I watched it years ago. And then never watched it again. Just kind of lost track. And then came back on it maybe 2 or 3 years into it, maybe on the last two seasons, and ended up just watching all of them at the seat of my pants. Like, this is a really good show. And it was such a back history and so much episodes and content. It's almost hard to do that with the show that's currently on TV. Like, I almost feel like possibly Walking Dead could be like that if you maybe only watched a couple of episodes and you let it pile up to like maybe the fourth season and you decided to sit back and watch it, you'll probably be blown away as opposed to how we just sort of watch it week from week.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up The Wire. I know you're going to get at me, but
well, you know what? Hold on one second, Mike. Our connection got really bad all of a sudden.
Really?
Yeah, let me what that's all about. You know what? Let's take a break. And we're going to reconnect. And we'll be right back with podcast. You think I should do, baby? Oh, that's kind of bad. Don't you think so? Listen. If you want to leave, just walk out the door. Because time will tell. Back for more, but you won't get any, 'cause girl, I'm not your fool. Maybe you don't understand, I'm trying to say. Sorry, I can't hold it anymore. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, back and clear. Just a little technical situations. So we had, you were just getting ready to say something about The Wire.
Oh yeah, I was saying that. I know you and Big Sexy are gonna get at me, but I'm gonna stick with the show. But I have to tell you, the first, I think I'm on episode 3, and I kind of gave it a break because I got busy, but it's just kind of really slow so far. I mean, some interesting things have happened. They've set up some stuff. Like, from what I recall, there's a detective who is kind of like being played out by his fellow detectives because he talked to a judge or something like that. And so they're putting him on this own little isolated case to get at a drug dealer played by Idris Elba or something like that.
Yes, yes. Now, I can tell you, just keep watching. Trust me.
I know.
It would get a lot better.
Because but you know what's interesting? It picked up for me when I didn't realize Michael B. Jordan was, as a kid, he plays in this.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
And he's a dumbass, too.
Yes. But his character is very, again, a lot of these characters are very long arcs and multi-season sort of stuff going on. So.
And the guy who's kind of like the the block leader who's working for Idris. There was one scene where I thought he was going to get capped for sure. They meet in a nightclub, and he's talking to, I guess, his, I don't know what the term is, his superior. And he's like, "Dude, why your man keep fucking up with this and that?" And I forget, something happened, and I thought for sure, in an Italian movie, that dude would have been capped as soon as he walked out the door. But that's the guy who played in the guy who's leading Michael B. Jordan on the block. Isn't he the guy that played in Straight Out of Brooklyn?
Straight Out of Brooklyn? I don't remember. I can't. He's a guy. I know who you're talking about. Yes,
he was in Barbershop, wasn't he? Wasn't he in Barbershop, the first one?
I know who you're talking about. I forget his name on The Wire, but yeah, he was in that movie, I believe.
I hadn't seen him in a while, so. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Speaking of another TV show, I'll just briefly mention it, but the second episode of this new season of Sons of Anarchy recently came out, and that is another, definitely they have, this is a really good show, and it's one of those shows, again, where the story continues to progress and the characters are continuing, you know, sort of on their journey. And this one starts with the sort of shocker aftermath ending of the season premiere, where the little boy goes into the school with the machine gun and just mows people down. And, you know, that gun was from the club, you know, it's traced back to the Sons of Anarchy, you know. And so what happens when that happens, and this craziness, I won't spoil it for anybody, but very intense program. That's another good one. I mean, there's some really good shows on TV. Speaking of shows, I did see, and watched it on a lark, because I had no intention of watching it and barely even knew it existed. But there's this show, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, right.
day before yesterday. I was just at my girlfriend's house clicking through on demand. I was like, what is this? And apparently it's like a TV series.
Right.
With sort of a new version or a new take on Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod Crane, you know, with the Headless Horseman and stuff. But, and I was like, when I saw the title and I was like, okay, let me check this out. And I start to see that it's, you know, sort of takes place in today's world. At first I was like, this is corny. I was like, how can you possibly make a TV show with this premise? But then when stuff starts to happen, we were watching it like, whoa, you know, dude's head's getting taken off. And I was like, this is crazy. And just like, I was actually shocked. I was like, this is like a very bloody sort of crazy TV show. Like, what show is having heads decapitations going on? And then they tie it into this whole sort of apocalyptic Four Horsemen stuff. And I must say, as I watched it, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to see the next episode. It just seems interesting enough for me to watch. I was joking to my girlfriend, like, they're trying to go for the Scandal audience because they got the black woman with the white dude. But I was like, but they got the supernatural element to it. But I actually thought this was good. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
I just watched it yesterday, and I tell you what, for me, it's one of those shows where I either have to buy into how they've altered the Ichabod Crane legend, and it's a part of it's just really so stupid. To me, like if you think about when first Captain America, right, mm-hmm. when he breaks out of that fake hospital room, and just how this was almost the best part of the movie. I think you and I talked about this. I remember you said that you kind of wish that the movie had started there. Where right, he right. runs out into Times Square, and that was excellently done. I think they played that perfectly as a guy who, you know, was in the 40s
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden is in 21st century. With this one, it's the guy, Ichabod Crane, he wakes up in the 21st century. He's acting more annoyed than surprised. You know what I mean? It's like, at least get that part right. That's part of the fun of it, seeing this guy adjust to modern day life. Like maybe he tries to drive a car and he puts it in reverse as opposed to forward. You know, just silly little things that you can have fun with. It's like,
well, I tell you what they did have fun with, which I thought was that? Very interesting. You know, one of the main characters is a black woman, she's a cop.
Right.
And he starts talking about like
slavery yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
And like what are you doing? You know, like you've been emancipated. Like I thought that was very interesting. I was like, I was like, they'll never do it, but I would have started rolling if he's so a Negro woman, you know, if he just started going there. I just thought that was funny to me. I was like, why?
I think you have to do that. To me, that's one thing they got right.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's a TV show like Revolution.
Exactly. Exactly. You either buy it.
It's not Breaking Bad storytelling or, you know, one of these other shows with very sort of in-depth story. It's more of the light fare take on a situation. And it was just enough where I was like, even, and again, to me, there's a lot of serious stuff going on, but it's done for TV. And I was like, this is cool. I was curious to see like when it's sort of revealed that this stuff is real and more people are aware of what's going on. I was curious to see what happens then. Cause I was like, okay, you got a couple of police officers who are witnesses who said they've seen this. You know, the Orlando Bloom character or whatever, the black dude sergeant, he's sort of recognizing that, yeah, this may be real. I was kind of like, man, if they don't have like FBI or CIA something to come and lock this down, I'm not going to really want to watch it. But when they showed the previews for the next few episodes, I was like, oh, okay, let me... It looks crazy enough. There were some very crazy-looking characters being shown. I was like, yeah, let me see what this is about. You know, either it's going to be some bullshit or it'll be some kind of entertaining, you know, well, show.
If nothing else, the best thing they got right is putting Nicole Beharie as the lead, because I'll take her over.
That? Oh, is that the girl's name?
That's the girl's name. Oh, I'll take her. She played in 42 as the wife, I think.
Oh, okay. I still haven't seen that.
But I'll take her up and down, left and right, in and out over Kerry Washington any day.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Have you seen, what's that movie with Chris Rock? Where she was in?
I Think I Hate My Wife.
She was banging in that movie. Are you serious?
Yes. I didn't see the movie.
Oh, okay. Go see that movie. There's a scene in that. You'll be like,
you know what it is about Kerry Washington? I know you go. I know what you're going to say. But I've seen her on some talk shows, particularly Bill Maher's show.
Mm-hmm.
She has this laugh that's like, oh, God.
Well, I mean, I've seen pictures of her without her makeup. And she's almost like a totally different person.
Well, yeah, all of them.
Well, I know. I mean, really different.
I know the picture. She's walking the street with a hoodie or something, right?
Yeah. But like I say, go see that movie with Chris Rock. Isn't she in that Spike Lee movie that nobody really saw? She Hate Me. Isn't that her in that?
I didn't see that.
That movie is off the charts. You need to go see that. Anyway. All right. So moving right along. I wanted to talk about GTA 5, Grand Theft Auto 5. I picked this game up. Of course, I'm sure everybody's, you know, Grand Theft Auto is a very popular gaming franchise. I believe the last one was Grand Theft Auto 4. It came out about 5 years ago. It was also another excellent game. I wasn't really into it that much. I had picked it up for the PC maybe a year after it came out. And, you know, remarkable gameplay. But I normally don't like to play those sort of games where it's sort of just, you know, open-ended sort of gameplay. But I had seen some trailers for this one, and I was like, man, technology has come to the point where they can really make it look really good. And one of the selling points of this one was that there are actually three main characters that you can play, and you can, you know, jump from one to the other on the fly. And one of them was a black dude named Franklin. Basically, he was a thug dude. But just when you look at the trailer, and it just seems like it's such a step up from the previous ones. And even, like, to me, the classic one to me was San Andreas, which was totally, you know, South Central LA, and it was all black. I mean, it was basically Menace to Society, the game. And that one was a pretty well-done game at the time. So anyway, I get this game, and right when it starts, your jaw just drops because, I mean, like, the graphics on this and just the attention to detail is phenomenal. And, like, you can tell right away the production quality in this game, out of the park. Like, just everything about the music, just so well done. And then so when it finally starts, you are, there's three main characters, so let me set it up. One character's name is Franklin. Basically from South Central, and you're sort of like living with your aunt, and almost like it's like Friday or something to me. It's just, and then you have your friend with you, whatever. And so these two guys are walking down what seems to be sort of like Venice Beach or something. And then there's another character named Michael, older white guy. He's ex-con man. The game actually starts from his perspective years earlier, in the middle of a bank heist or something, and you sort of take control and get away, and it is, you're actually captured or seem like you've died, and then it picks up years later. And then the other third character is this crazy meth cooking psychopath. Only way I can say it. He's if Walt's character, if he really was Heisenberg for real. But more crazy. So it starts, you know, you have these three guys, and you actually take control of Franklin first, but you sort of have a chance meeting with Michael at the very beginning, but you don't know who he is. But once it goes into you're playing Franklin and you are a you work for a car dealership and you repo cars, but a very questionable sort of car dealership. But you and your friend Lamar are going to take these two high-end sports cars from this rich house because they ain't paying their bill or something. But the dialogue and just the cadence and the mannerisms between these two characters are so authentic and so hilarious. I knew I was going to be a fan of this game because whoever wrote this or is directing this has to be like the most ignorant knucklehead from the block because the stuff that they are saying is stuff that we would only say. When I say we, you know, black people, like the knuckleheads, you know, when you're talking with your boys, but it was done so real. I mean, I don't know how the, I don't know who wrote this or whatever, but I was like, this is hilarious. It's like, it's too real. Like this normally, you know, when you have sort of the thugs talking in a movie or something, you know, it's your Hollywood sort of version of it. Even if they have some of the wording right, just the way that we say things and the little small little cultural in jokes that mm-hmm. just, and it was there. And I was like, that's amazing. I was like, this is hysterical. I don't want to play any of the other characters. I just want to play this dude with Lamar. Had me in tears. And it was just like everything that we sort of say. So I say all that to say, amazing production quality, amazing gameplay. I mean, again, I don't normally like to play these sort of games, but I picked it up and was, you know, the driving was amazing. The shooting is easy to do. And I actually wanted to do the missions as opposed to just drive around the world and wreak, you know, wreak havoc. I actually wanted to do the story, and the story was, it's a very satirical take on reality, but it's, I equate it to be like a mix of, you could take Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, The Wire, The Shield, and throw all of that together. And that's, what's the one with Pacino and De Niro? Heat.
Oh, Heat.
And put all of that together. That's what this is. But you actually get to play those characters as if they were all in one big movie together. And this is wild story that is being told. And it's just amazing, man. You know, I'm not going to spend too much talk about it, but to say that you end up bringing the three characters together eventually, and you go on a heist. Like, there's apparently there's a lot of heists in this game. But what differentiates this between anything else is that, like, I went on a heist to steal a jewelry store heist. But you go in and you decide, like, how do you want to go in? Do you want to go in loud or do you want to go in stealth? You got to put a crew together of guys, you know, and like if you get guys that are not that good, you don't have to pay them that much of the take. Or if you want to get some guys that are really good at their particular skills, you'll probably have to give them a little bit more money. Now, me, I was figuring I didn't really need a guy who could shoot very well because I figured I could handle that. So I kind of got a dude that wasn't that good shooting, but I didn't think it would matter. So and then you finally get the things together that you need for the heist. You start to do it. And of course, you got to do all these things, right? And the cool thing is you can switch back and forth between the main characters. So if Franklin is supposed to go up on the roof and do something, you can set him up there and then you can switch to another guy to spark this whole, I mean, it's just amazing. So you get in there and you do the heist and it's straight out of the movies. And, you know, you have a hacker who's hacked the system so the alarm doesn't go off. And if you get a good hacker, you get a little bit more time to get the money before the police comes. So I'm in there grabbing the jewelry, cracking the thing. And then we run outside and get on our motorcycles to get away, right? But the fool who I got that was a not-so-good gunman, this fool cannot ride a motorcycle either. So as we get on the motorcycle, and of course the cops are coming, and we're getting ready to jump down the sewers to ride the bikes, this fool crashed right before we got in there, dropped the money, and I can't really stop to go get it, so we got less money. And apparently, I heard from other people, if you'd have picked a different dude, he would have made it and stayed with you, and you got a bigger payout. But it turns into this Fast and the Furious, you know, set piece of, you know, riding the bikes through the city, going down, you know, like in Terminator 2 at the beginning where Arnold, and he has the big semi, and they go down like in the sewers. You kind of have that sort of moment going on. It's just amazing. Like, well done. I had the time of my life. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is the other thing. I just got to say this. You can go anywhere in this game, right? And it basically is California. There are airports, right? You can actually go into the airport, drive down to the runway. Now, once you pull off into that runway area, cops are going to come at you. But you can jump if you can do it. If you can pull it off, you can go and snatch up one of those commercial jet planes and fly that bastard and steal it. And I've seen, I tried to do this myself, and I'm like, I've seen it on a video where I said, it's obvious you can do it. But when I drive out there, the cops start coming and I can hear them coming, and I'm trying to drive my car out on the little on the runway. And here comes a big ass, you know, Boeing style plane, and it's sort of going down the runway like it's going to take off. And I figure if I just pull in front of it, it has to stop. But this motherfucker does not stop, okay, and hits my car, boom, and then it makes the plane sort of scrape down, and it just blows up, and just craziness. I was like, and it just looks so real. And I was like, I know this is foul to do, but I'm going to steal one of them bad boys and drive it into one of them skyscrapers. I just want to see what the game is going to do.
Okay. You went Man of Steel on them? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to do a little 9/11 because I want to see what it's going to do. But you can do all kinds of crazy. I was going to say, the game is amazing. I saw that the game broke records. I believe it said it did a billion dollars in 3 days.
Wow.
Which is a world record of any sort of product, period. So, amazing game, definitely. You know, one thing I thought about as I saw this game, I was like, this game proves that there's no reason to put out a new system.
What about that?
Because there's nothing. This proves that good games are what makes it go. Not, only thing they could possibly show you is maybe better graphics on this, but the graphics are already amazing. And so this game is coming out, or is out for 360 and PS3. It's not coming out on the PS4 on launch. They haven't even announced it next gen. And there's no need to. That's why I was like, this game shows why those systems are premature. There's no new game that they got coming on a next gen that can compete with this.
So you're saying if I were to go buy this game, I shouldn't wait, just go and play it on my PS3?
Well, I mean, it has not been announced for the PS3. The new system, so you wouldn't be able to play it. I'm just saying that there's so many great games now, there's no need for a new system.
Right.
Yeah. So it goes to show that those systems they got now, highly capable. It's just the games. If you make great games, of course they spent over 5 years making this game, but it definitely, it's all there.
So what systems can you play it on right now?
360 and the PS3.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. So, all right. I shouldn't wait until to see if they're going to release it for the new, because the PS4 is coming out, right?
Yes. Yep. And the Xbox. But, they don't have the, I mean, it just goes to show, yeah, they're going to have pretty graphics on those systems. Don't get me wrong. But I'm straight satisfied. I'm more than satisfied with what they've got right now. They continue to put out super A-plus games.
All right. Well, you're talking to someone who bought The Last of Us.
Yeah.
4 months ago. And so far, I've only gotten to the point where I forget the main character's name. He has a female sidekick, and they go down into some underground hideout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just got to the point where they start to smell a gas that indicates that the creatures are coming. Okay. And I remember you saying, I was playing this, and I was like, this just isn't good. I just don't feel good playing this game.
It's very tense.
And I was like, okay, it's late, it's dark, I'm here in this apartment by myself up in New Jersey. Let me put this down for now.
Yeah, when I played that game, I was like, this is easily game of the year. But after this, Grand, and then they're totally different genres of games, but after this, this game is on a whole nother level. And I'm only like 20% into the game. And I ain't even did nothing. And the other part of this is that Grand Theft Auto 5 Online comes out next month and is totally free, you know, if you have the game. And that's going to be ridiculous. So it's going to take everything that we've got here and it's going to open it up to everybody. Madness will ensue. So can't wait to see what that's going to be all about.
See, now here's the thing. With these games in the past, they've always been controversial because aren't these games where you go in and you beat up prostitutes and shoot people and do drug deals? And
you can. I mean, look, when I first got the game and I was playing Franklin, I drove around the corner from his house. I'm going down the street and I noticed a strip club. I was like, what the fuck? So I pulled over there, walked in there, go in, and it's a strip club. Real. I was wrong. You can go in there, you can walk up to the stage, make it rain, make it rain on them. You'll walk, girls will walk up to you, ask if you want a private dance. They'll walk you in the back, and they'll be topless, and they're in there popping it. That's doing hilarious. Everything, and you can go in there and touch them. You say you can touch them, but just don't let the bouncer see you, so the bouncer will walk away. So you can grab them and stuff, and then you have one button where you could flirt with them, and all this sort of makes the like meter go up, you know, and you it is hilarious. Now, I was watching, I just put this on my Facebook page. There's this guy, it's on World Star Hip Hop. He's playing the game, and he's commentating over it. Had me in tears. He is the original ignorant Negro playing this game, and he's playing it as such. But he goes into the strip club and just talking crazy, had me rolling. So he purposely is grabbing the girls and stuff in the private dance, and you get thrown out, right? So he gets thrown out, but he, just like a Negro, pulls out the shotgun to the guy at the front door, like, yo, let me in. Bust him over the head, goes in the strip club, starts shooting up the place, slapping people, slapping holes. It's hilarious the way he does it, though. But you can do all of that crazy stuff in this game and more. But, you know, that's up to the player. There are some stuff in the story that is very sort of like borderline too much, because there's that one character who is a psychopath. But it's no different to me. Like I said, it's a mixture of Breaking Bad, The Wire, Menace Society, Heat. It's all of that. Roll into it. So if you don't have any problem with those movies, you won't have any problem with this game. Again, if you want to be a psychopath, you can be that, but it doesn't call for you to be one per se.
Right. And I guess the thing for me is that, you know, kids have access to these games. Well, I guess they have access,
To the movies too. But,
right.
Yeah. I mean, it's an adult game. It's not sold to kids. But then again, so is R-rated movies, right? So.
Right.
Yeah. All right, moving along. Injustice.
Oh, yes.
Gods Among Us. So we have been talking about this comic book for a while. It's a spinoff. It's actually a prequel to the game, I realize. If you look at I remember in the book starts out at one point and then it sort of goes back and starts telling how it became this totalitarian sort of Superman world. So that's what we are, you know, seeing through the book. So recently they just put out the last issue last week. And the book is actually going to go on hiatus until January is going to come back. I'm not going to spoil it. And I know you stopped reading it a little bit, but I would implore you to sort of pick up the last two. It was just a great visual of what ends up happening at the end of the story. And I was like, yeah, and it was kind of like, it was just dope. Like, it was actually pretty, it's a fun book to me. So it was just like very fun sort of thing that happens. And it comes down between Batman and Superman. And it was a cool little ending. You know, I was like, okay,
Well, but here's the thing. The reason I kind of cooled off on that book is because I know it's only 99 cents, right? But the book is only like 6 or 7 pages long. And I'm thinking,
right,
the story just kind of stagnated. It seemed like it wasn't going anywhere. So you're saying it's going on hiatus. Is there going to be an end game to the story? Or are they going to...
Well, remember where it started at the beginning?
Where Superman,
he was already in power and Batman was sort of creeping in the city and like it was Superman's world already. And then he sort of goes back in time and starts from the beginning. Okay. So this doesn't go, this gets up to that point of where it started. So it's not over. Superman is still in power. Let me just put it that way.
Well, the thing is, I just don't want to keep spending my money to get 5 pages of a comic book.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was unique because it's a digital book, and they were doing a chapter a week, basically. And then they were collecting them and putting them in a regular comic book. So if you buy them as a comic book, you're going to get a whole bunch of weeks in one book. With a comic book, I believe, actually will stop printing, will come to the end in December, right in time for it to restart again. But the way we were looking at them, we were looking at the chapter a week sort of thing. So, yeah, you are paying 99 cents for basically a chapter. And it does continue on in terms of how we kept reading it. But to me, I didn't take it that serious. It was a very fun book to me because it was like, okay, let's see what would happen if you had to fight Shazam this week or whatever. But again, I like the way it ended. Again, it's not some groundbreaking thing or anything like that. It was just a very fun sort of way to, okay, here we are for now. We're going to pause it. And at least it gives you a little something. But it's definitely not over. There was not an end game to this. It just sort of put things in like perspective, I guess.
Well, the other thing about it was that... it seemed like the art on it, they were just getting anyone who needed a job to do the artwork.
Yeah, it was like a few different artists rotating on this thing.
And they were scrubs.
Yeah, not the best art, I admit.
So, some of the issues had some pretty decent art, but the way they draw Batman is rendered like the Batman in the movies, and Superman, he has his huge metal plate on his chest as opposed to just a...
It's not the ones from the comic.
Right.
And incidentally, apparently, if I'm going to look this up again, but I swear this was like the biggest selling comic, digital comic ever.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why people were sort of shocked that they would end this because it was the big, best selling thing that they had.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see the story going anywhere. When you first told me about it, probably, back in March? Something like that. I mean, I was all in, and now it's like, okay, this isn't going any further. Let's move this along. It just seemed like the last episode I read, it was like another kind of introspective book where it was one character. It was Superman, one of Superman's fans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just about him being so disappointed that Superman's doing what he's doing. And I'm like, okay, let's move on. Let's get this moving.
Yeah, apparently I'm looking at it now. I guess it's been going on for a while. It's neck and neck with Walking Dead. Gods Among Us, Walking Dead, they were always neck and neck in sales, but apparently Injustice sells more. Now, again, it's only 99 cents, but it's the top-selling digital book comic of all.
Mm.
So, yeah, definitely is a big audience for it. I thought it was a fun book, personally. It was way better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I would have never really read anything like that, personally. But
I don't seem like most of the gamers don't like the book, though.
Yeah, I like it because I don't really... I mean, I played the game. I had it for a second. It was cool. But I like the story of the book. I just thought it was fun. And it's crazy. It's just over the top. Like, Superman is hardcore.
Right.
But all right, last few things I want to throw in. I've seen a couple of movies, some stuff that I've seen before, but I saw one that you saw that I had never saw before. And I recently watched This Is the End.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
Isn't that something?
I was rolling. Watch, that movie is crazy. Yeah, that was actually a very good, you said it. Yeah, it was a very good movie. I was like kind of surprised. It was so over the top, but it was so hilarious, and they just captured everything. Like, and I liked it because they were playing themselves, and they were like making fun of themselves. And yeah, that movie was a trip, man.
I think the part I liked the most, because it was real. I think I mentioned this on the podcast when the girl from Harry Potter to the crib, and you know, you got what, 5-6 guys there, and she's there. She's looking good. You know, she's grown up, looking good. That's how it's going to go down.
Yeah, I guess. That dude is crazy, man.
I forget who said it was. Jonah Hill, I think. He went Riddick on him. Balls deep.
Yeah, that's nuts. Did you ever see that movie?
You know what? Based on what you told me about it, it sounds like it's just good, kind of comic bookish fun. Not taking too. I could probably go into that and not take it too seriously. But I just haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Oh, okay. But yeah, This Is the End. Definitely a must see from this year. Definitely got to check that out. I watched After Earth again actually a couple days ago.
Okay.
That was still cool. I probably would never watch it again, but it was an interesting movie. I still like the old father-son dynamic. I watched Fast 6 again. Kind of put me asleep a little bit, but still pretty fun. And then I watched World War Z, but I watched the uncut version.
Oh, how was that?
And it was good. I mean, it basically just shows a lot of the kills, a lot more blood and stuff. That is a very good movie. Like, I actually was still on the edge of my seat watching it for the second time. For zombie movies, it was masterfully done, actually. I watched it with my girlfriend who had never seen it before, and she was on edge watching that movie. Could not, you know, it was just definitely, it's one of those movies that you don't expect it to sort of be that good. And it just takes everything it's doing. It's serious. There's still some fun in it, but it's relentless, man. Definitely a relentless movie.
Well, it's interesting because I downloaded the audiobook after seeing the movie. And I don't know why. I don't know. To me, the movie works better than the audiobook. The audiobook, the concept is great. They try to show you like a realistic version of events if something like that were to happen. But the book, I'm saying audiobook because I'm not reading, I'm listening to it. But the book, it almost takes itself too seriously. It doesn't have enough fun. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, they're two different animals. And I think if you had read the book first or had heard the audiobook first and then watched it, you probably would. You know, you might be like, this isn't as good. But, I mean, I think they're both good, personally. They're just two different takes on it.
No, very true. I'm just saying that the book, it's kind of like what you were saying about, like, an Inception, watching Inception or Dark Knight Rises versus watching The Avengers. You can't really watch, and I know where you're coming from. I disagree, but I know where you're coming from. You wouldn't be able to really watch Inception again because it takes too much, I don't know, thought or takes too much out of you. And I'm thinking that's the same with this book. The movie was just a fun, scary, fun ride. The book is going too much into the politics. And it's, I was like, okay, this is about zombies. I want to hear some more stories about zombies.
Yeah, well, the book isn't made to be fun like the movie. Definitely.
I think right.
And that's what you said. That's the difference. It's two different tones.
It's kind of like that book. I don't know if you ever read this one. I got this as an audio book as well, but the book I Am Legend.
I've never read that one. I know it's apparently different too.
It's kind of the same way. I would say it's more fun than, and when I say fun, I mean, you know, like thrilling or exciting than World War Z, but it almost gets too scientific in trying to explain vampires, and it's like I want to see those narrow escapes. That's what I want to, you know what I mean? Yeah. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to lend credence to something fantastic to give it more weight, but at the end of the day, I want some exciting stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I remember when the book first came out, it was not, you know, part of the phenomenon of the book was that it wasn't like the other zombie books. It wasn't to be sort of, you know, the standard zombie book lore. You know, he wanted to do it almost serious. Well, it was serious sort of worldwide, you know, what would happen around the world in different types of places. And it wasn't about, you know, the running from the zombies or some of the more standard sort of zombie stuff. And I think that's why that book was successful, because it wasn't like the other ones. And it made it really stand out. That is a very wildly successful book, but yeah, you know, the movie is a totally different animal. That movie is dope to me. I'm glad they didn't try to make the book, because it would have been totally different.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see the unrated cut. I don't know if I can get that on. Do you know? Does Netflix or HBO showing HBO Go showing that, or HBO?
Well, it just came out on home video, so it probably won't hit, you know, those stations for a while. You can probably find it on demand or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that different. It's just that it's an R-rated version, basically, with, you know, they didn't have to dial back anything. I still wish they had, and they probably never even, well, I guess they did film it, but they're not going to put it out. I'm curious to see what the other sort of sub-stories were. Because you still see that shot of that one guy from Lost real quick, but then just don't never say nothing about him.
Mm.
But I was curious what was his story about in the movie. All right, so last quick thing, another last thing, some more Star Wars news. Two actors have recently, I don't know if they've auditioned or want to talk to, about being in the movie. The first one is, and I'm going to try and say his name right, David Olovi.
Oyelowo?
Yeah, he was in The Butler. I don't know if you ever
saw him. The guy from Planet, he was in Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, he was in that too. Yes. He's had some talks. And also, Michael B. Jordan, he actually has met with J.J. Abrams personally about some sort of role in Star Wars, possibly. So, interesting that they have the only two announced. Well, they announced other people, but it was two people this week, and they were both black actors.
Interesting.
Yeah, so curious to see what that's all about.
There's going to be some jungle fever between. who's the? What's the girl's name? Han and Leia's daughter.
Well, I can't remember right now.
Don't they have twins?
Yeah, they have twins, and they have another son too. But yeah, I can't think of the name right now. Mm. But yeah, so definitely some movement on Star Wars. There was something else I was gonna.
Han Solo gonna go up to Michael B. Jordan talking about, "Get off my planet."
Yeah. Oh, speaking of auditions, apparently there's a box set of the Dark Knight movies about to drop next week.
Okay.
So there's a lot of sort of special features clips I noticed are online. But they released a clip from Christian Bale's audition tape as Batman. He's wearing the Val Kilmer Batman suit or something like that. I don't know. It was just kind of interesting to see his audition. And he does the voice, and Nolan talks about, like, that was one of the reasons that made his performance so good, was he came with this voice, you know. So it's very interesting.
Oh, you mean that's Christian? You're talking about the gravelly voice?
Yeah.
He did that? That was really done by him?
Yes. He's doing it in his audition tape.
He must have had a sore throat for days after he shoot.
So that's kind of interesting.
I thought they did that in post.
Nah, apparently he brought that. They didn't even, that was, you know, that was his thing to bring into it. And that's what they sort of like, was like, whoa, okay.
And that's, he gets, doesn't the character get clowned for that in the movies though? That's the one thing everyone says was kind of silly.
And it, so to me, it is sometimes. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. So, yeah, anything, you got anything else you want to add to that?
Well, I guess we wouldn't be really geeked out if we didn't mention that Apple's taking one. They released two new phones, mm-hmm. two new sets of phones, the 5C, which is basically, as far as I know, just a lesser version of the 5S, but it comes in different colors, and the 5S, which was released also with the new iOS 7, which I downloaded to my 4S because, you know, Apple's not going to get no more of my money unless I have no other choice. But, you know, it's interesting. It makes it look more like a Windows phone or what I imagine an Android phone to look like. It has the new flat design. In other words, there's no drop shadows. There's no, like, fake 3D. I don't want to say fake, but there's no 3D effect on it anymore. And there's no what I like to call bounding boxes. In other words, like, for the iPhone users out there, typically most of the things that you could tap or select were surrounded by a box. And in this case, that's not really the design anymore. Everything's kind of free-floating, which makes it confusing for me to try to determine where I want to tap to activate something. But I will say this. It has a lot of features that I do like. However, the flat design is kind of a turnoff for me. And it's very colorful, which is also a turnoff for me. It's like every time I look at my phone, I feel like I'm looking at a bag of M&Ms. It's like these really bright primary colors that don't really – if you have like a background wallpaper that's very busy, it's hard to read the text of all of the of all your apps. So, and they chose a font that's very outdated. It's very 80s to me. But I would say that it has a lot of features that many people will like. A lot of features that I would suspect are already out there on other systems. I could be wrong about that, but I overall it's cool. It's just the look. It seemed like they could have done a little bit more with the look of it.
Interesting. Now, is that are you forced to upgrade to that or?
Well, you don't have to, no. Whenever they release a new software, you will get an alert saying you have a software to upgrade.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to.
I'll go ahead.
I'm just going to say eventually you'll probably want to because apps will be developed now that will be made for this new software, for this new platform.
All right, gotcha. There was a funny video out. I guess, you know, the new phone where you has the finger recognition.
Is it the dude in the bed with his girl?
Whereas, well, actually, it recognizes nipples. I don't know. I mean, I'm not lying. Now, I saw this headline on this, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, I got to see this because, you know, it's going to be a woman, and she's going to put a nipple. Now, keep in mind, this video is a dude.
Wow.
Doing this. But it does work. Like, for some reason, it can tell nipples.
What phone is this?
The new iPhone. You know, on the new iPhone, it has the finger thing, you know.
Fingerprint, yeah.
So you can, you know, hey, if you, you – apparently it recognizes nipples. So I just wanted to share that with you. Yeah.
That sounds useful. I thought you were going to talk about this commercial for – I don't even know what phone it is. But it's got this guy, black dude, and his woman in the bed. He's massaging her. And he tries to tell his phone to play some music, and his phone is played by this overweight white guy. Have you seen that commercial?
No.
Okay, it's pretty funny. But yeah, I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
I don't even know what phone they're advertising, which isn't good.
Which is not good, right? Right. I just seen something come across the screen here. Apparently the Emmys are tonight, I guess, right? I don't
know. Yeah, they're probably on right now.
And I see that Netflix brings home an Emmy. They it says
House of Cards, right?
House of Cards, yeah. Wins first major Emmy for a web series. Apparently it has won two. Creative Arts Emmy for Outstanding Casting for a Drama and Outstanding Cinematography. So,
man. Do you think the networks are just shaking now?
They gotta be.
I mean, I can't remember the last. I'm trying to think. Maybe Revolution, New Girl. Those are the only shows that come to mind that I watch on network TV anymore.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Do I watch anything on network TV?
I mean, what's funny is, well, Sleepy Hollow. Yeah. But what's funny is when you say a show, when I think of a show on network TV, I think it doesn't seem like I want to watch it. It doesn't. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't seem traditional anymore.
You know what? There is, I don't, well, I would give them Scandal because I'm watching on Netflix at least. It's an entertaining show. But other than that, when I think of TV, I think of, you know, AMC or TNT or, you know, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, Walking Dead, mm-hmm. something like that. Like, otherwise, I'm cool. Like, those shows just don't do anything for me.
I found that the network TV, like, you think about a Sleepy Hollow. Network TV can be just reduced to, it's either going to be a new cop show, it's going to be a new law show, or it's going to be some high concept slash sci-fi show.
Right. Yeah, I will say that I was watching Arrow for a little bit, that I will probably go back to watching that.
Well, I would say even CW, too. I know it's a network show, but at least they go for a hipper audience. They go for that young, which I'm not part of. But they do go for that. They have the edgier fare. Well, edgy, but not that mainstream stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. And I don't know. Offshoot the ad. They've announced they're going to do The Flash. It's going to offshoot off of Arrow. That'd be interesting.
I did hear about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. Did that thrill you? Does that excite you? Well,
if it's in the same level as Arrow, then I'll watch it. Because to me, Arrow is hardcore, and it's actually very well done for what it is. So if it's like that, then I'll at least check it out.
See, to me, that's a superpower that doesn't translate well to either screen or TV, because I remember, what was it, the early 90s, they had that show, The Flash.
Right, which I've never saw. It just looked ridiculous from the costume.
It did. The suit was like, what? But it's like, the guy can run fast, so why do I, you know, that's not a power I really want to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's got to be some other things going on for that to even be exciting. But I don't know. We'll see what they do.
Yeah.
It seems like a young person playing it, so I don't know. It might go the way of Beverly Hills 902 meets Flash or something.
Or if they do it like that Justice League arc on Smallville.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wish they had the balls to just do that. Like,
yeah, right?
But we'll see. I think... Doesn't Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. come on this week, or is that next week? Or the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show?
That's a good question. But I got to tell you, the more I see of that, the less excited I get, because it looks like it's just going to be another X-Files.
Yeah, I agree.
They can't mess... But you see, that's part of the branding for the movie series. You can't mess that up.
Yeah, which makes me think they must have something... that I'm just not thinking about that's going to make this show good, because they cannot ruin the brand of this Marvel movie. That it can't come with some subpar stuff at this point. And which reminds me, I just watched Iron Man 3 last night again. Ah, man.
That's the third time, isn't it?
Is it the third time?
I remember you saying earlier that you watched Iron Man 3 again.
Maybe I had it and I didn't finish watching. I don't know. I watched it in pieces. And... it's just a few scenes that are kind of cool, but overall that movie is just not good, man. It's just, you know, it is. And Avengers has tainted me so much that if something isn't even, not even on par with that, it just seems weak to me. And whether that's fair or not, they've set the bar so high, man. Like, I don't know. It wasn't a good follow-up. And then I've been reading that the Thor movie, they have brought in Whedon to help them tighten it up in some places and fix up some scenes or whatnot. So hopefully that he'll bring in, keep the magic going.
That does look like it. The trailer looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So. All right. Oh, one quick last thing. And this is just curious to me. So you've heard of Kickstarter, right?
Yeah.
So apparently, you know, Kickstarter is obviously a very successful thing. A lot of people use it. I know Spike Lee was doing his thing on there, and he actually got his money to make his next movie. But a lot of video game developers, independent video game developers, use Kickstarter to fund their projects.
Okay.
There's this one video game. I believe the developer's name is Chris Roberts. He's very known from doing, like, I think Wing Commander and sort of space, sort of fighting, sort of type games. He has this new game that he's been working on for a couple of years. It looks so freaking amazing. It's like everything I've ever wanted in a space battle sort of game. I can't even describe it, so I'm not going to. It's just look it up. And he's raised like $19 million.
Wow.
For this game. And it looks worth it. Like, oh my God. But anyway, I guess the thing that's been going on is that when these companies or guys get their money or they've risen the $1 million, whatever it is, PayPal is not giving them the money. Or it's not giving them all the money. PayPal is like, okay, so one guy described he was, I think he had got $1 million or something. And so he went to, logged in to transfer $700,000 to his bank account. It was his money, right?
Right.
So they let him do some of the money, and then they're like, no, we're going to hold on to this money and give it to you when you need it. And basically asked him to send them, like, the plans for the game and, you know, where are you at with the development?
What?
Yeah, I mean... And it's like, he sent this to them, and then they're like, okay, cool. When you need some money, we'll give it to you. But we're going to hold on to it.
The hell? That, see, that's some calling your boys with some bats.
And apparently they've been doing this to a few of those guys, and what normally happens is, you know, people are outraged, and so they go public. They're like, go on Twitter and like, hey, you know all that money that we raised? Well, we got a little bit of it, but PayPal is holding it up. And, and so then people make such a brouhaha about it, then PayPal, oh, here's your money. You know, no apology.
What kind of game is that?
It's crazy. Like, apparently, there's an article, and I'll put a link to it. It's a crowdfunding secret enemy is PayPal. It says how the ubiquitous online payment system has systematically crippled project after project until creators go public and criticize the company in exchange for help. And it's a very in-depth article that's been going on. And it's just interesting, man. It doesn't surprise me, but it's interesting because, you know, PayPal has sort of positioned themselves over the years as sort of like the go-to place if you're doing payments online. And particularly with Kickstarter, they've sort of become almost the de facto sort of place to do the credit card transactions. But PayPal has been holding people's money, and you know, they're sort of saying that, well, we're trying to make sure that there's no fraud going on. But even when people are sending them the documents about the game and showing them the promotion and showing where the development is, they're like basically telling them, no, we're just going to be a producer with you on your project, and we'll hold on to the money and give you money as you need it. While all the while, I'm sure they're making interest on this money, and it's not their money.
Isn't PayPal owned by eBay?
It is.
Well, see, you think eBay would not want that bad look.
Well, it's so funny you say that, because the company or the president or whatever CEO, he had recently come out and, you know, after years of sort of this bad publicity of these sort of deals, they came out with this whole new sort of campaign where they actually, it's called Customer First Initiative. But why he's saying that, they're jacking, you know, holding people's money. So it's a very interesting thing. You know, they're not a bank, so they're not necessarily regulated like a bank would, you know, but people use them as a bank, basically.
Well, I know I've had issues with them holding up some of my either payments to people or receiving a payment. It may have been both. I can't remember the details, but yeah, I've had problems with PayPal too, and I've been using them for years. I mean, how are you going to treat me like that?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier this year they had mixed just out the blue accused my account of fraud as for somebody else's account, who I have no ties to, don't even know. It just that it looked like one of my email addresses from 5 years ago or something. I was like, really? And locked my money. I couldn't get my money until I literally got on the phone screaming on.
Right.
So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's they got to get this shit together, man, because that's not good. You know, one thing it made me start thinking about, and this could be a good idea for stories, so if I'm just giving it out to the world, oh, well. But I thought about it. When they talk about, like, we want to stop people from using it from fraud and money laundering, I started thinking, like, I could see how somebody, like a mafia or a dope dealer, a drug dealer, could use PayPal to launder the money, the dope money. Because all you'd have to do is create a Kickstarter campaign, right? Say you make a record company and Kickstarter. And if you had millions of dollars in dope money, but you couldn't put it in the bank or whatever, you could get it on prepaid cards and just have your boys have a whole bunch of debit cards, and you just put all the money in the back in that Kickstarter account.
I think they did something like that on Breaking Bad.
Really? Yeah, and then you just take the money, you know, and then you can say, oh, we raised $1 million. And then that money is legitimately yours. You didn't have to say where you got it from. You say you got it from donations. But then you could just keep doing other campaign or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. When the family first found out that Walt had cancer, Walt Jr. set up
some sort of
account online. And Skylar was sending the money to them. And Walt Jr. was like, oh, look at all this money we're getting.
Right. Yeah, I was just like, man, I could see how cats could be doing some stuff like that. But still, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's where you bring out knives and guns and shit. I got $1 million. You holding it up for what?
So we got a bomb on that building. You better release them funds. I shouldn't say that. Now they're going to be targeting me.
I didn't have nothing to do with that.
I'm going
to
edit that.
I'll sing like a hummingbird.
I said we got a beep on that building. Obama and them ain't playing. Here they are now.
There you go. Hey, you know, hey, what's funny is I haven't heard any trains tonight either.
Whole area's on lockdown already.
They're like, we ain't going near that nigga's house.
All right, man, we should wrap this up. So you've been listening to Geeked Out here on podcastjuice.net. I want to continue to invite you to leave some comments on Facebook or on the website. We got some great comments last week, so definitely keep them going. Also keep shouting us out on Twitter. Find me on @mdean. What's your Twitter name here, you remember?
That would be @qstorm3476.
Yes, sir. All right, with that, we are out of here. We will see you guys next time. Hey.